Welcome to this week's episode of Creating Magic. I'm Danny.
And I'm Paula. And today we are joined by our official ACOTAR correspondent, Angel, and Trisha to discuss Wings and Ruin.
As a warning, as always, there will be spoilers. We are only talking through Wings and Ruin. There will not be spoilers for anything after that. So proceed at your own risk.
All right. Angel's been here before, but introduce yourself. Tell us your pronouns, and then Trisha can go off.
All right. So my name's Angel. My pronouns are he, him. And my Instagram handle is Wizard of Main Street.
Hi, everyone. I am Trisha. My pronouns are she, her. And my Instagram handle is the Texas Potterhead.
Does that mean you're in Texas?
I am centrally located in Texas.
Well, happy Slytherin Pride Day to you Slytherins out there, since that is the day we are recording.
How perfect is that?
Yay, Slytherins.
Woo! Are we going to sort the characters into houses today? How many celebrate the Slytherins?
Maybe not today, but I think we should do that one day.
Maybe we'll do that as a wrap-up of the series. After we've done all the books, we'll do a full wrap-up.
That's episode. A good idea. Yeah.
Until the next book comes out.
Because I've switched Lucien from houses like 4 times.
I just know this. Y'all better not put Yanthi in Slytherin.
I'm just saying.
I'm just saying. Like,
she was cunning.
I don't think she even got into the school. I don't think she, like...
She's probably a Durmstrang.
Yeah. Thank you.
I don't know.
But Jerome,
I don't know, guys. All right, so how am I starting this?
I don't know. Did Danny, you had the questions?
So before that, the one person I would take Ianthe in my house over Tamlin in my house.
Facts.
I was going to say, as Ianthe gives me Ravenclaw vibes a little bit. She gives me those
got enough bad characters in our house.
Yeah, that's true.
We got freaking Lockhart. Like, we don't need another one of... Paula, why don't we start off with all of your reactions before we get into questions to how you felt about Wings and Ruin?
Wings and Ruin is...
Ruined you?
Ruined me, yes, because I would be like, oh, I'm so happy. Oh, I'm so sad. Oh my God, what the hell? Oh my God. Like, I was just, I didn't know what to feel anymore. I was like, in every chapter, something happens in like every chapter.
Yes.
I was like, this is like, once you got like past like chapter 30, there was like, I have to keep going. I left my my book club behind because I was like, there's too much going on. I need to know what's happening. So I just like, I read it pretty quickly considering the size of the book. But I also went on vacation, so that's like cheating a little bit.
I don't know. I don't think it's cheating. We told you you'd finish it. If you were on vacation, you finished it fast. So
I sure did. Yeah. All of that whole ship was like, there's something wrong with this girl. Because I was like, what? Sitting by the pool deck, like yelling.
The size of that book was like, I didn't think I was ever going to finish it. I was like, oh my gosh, this book is humongous. But like she said, like something happens every, like after you get after Mystifier, you're like, oh, this is so beautiful. I love this so much. And then they're just like right into it.
You're like,
and you're like, what is going on? Like I got whiplash from book two to book three. Like, where are we at? And every chapter is something else. You're like, oh, I love them. Oh my gosh. Oh, I'm crying. I'm happy. Like it's a lot. They wanted to make sure you felt all the emotions in this book.
There were even some chapters where you felt like, yes, but then you were like, oh no.
Yeah.
In the same chapter, and you're like, can I just like enjoy something?
Like, I agree with that. I definitely agree with that. I had a question. Oh, go ahead, Angel.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, so one thing I wanted to ask you guys about, you know, at the beginning of the very beginning of the book, the prologue, it starts out, you know, with that scene where Reese is like, kind of like a flashback scene where he's like walking to the previous war and he's like searching for Cassian and Azrael to make sure they like weren't among the dead. Like, how did that make y'all feel going into the book?
I was scared. So I was like, is the whole book going to be like this? Because I was like, oh no. Like, I felt bad because I'm reading it and I'm just thinking about how, like, how much he loves them. Mm-hmm. And how he would feel if he did find them. So, yeah, and I was like, maybe this is why people keep using the emotional damage audio with this book. And now I get it.
I also thought it was going to be a little bit of, I thought it was actually a scene. It took me a while to recognize it was about the first war, not this war. Like, I thought it was like a chapter ahead, you know what I mean? Or like later in the book, like he was looking for them, like they had been down somewhere and just making sure they weren't dead or anything. But yeah. But yeah, it was sad. And I, you know, it's funny, this book did not give me as much war. Like, Sabrina always asked me, like, are you at the war yet? Are you at the war yet? I was like, well, they're planning, they're prepping, they're talking. I was like, when's the actual battle? And I feel like she always told me the book is the third book is the war. And the war is like maybe about this much mm-hmm. of the whole book.
Yeah, but it does seem like it goes on forever. Like, because there's right. so much. If you like take into account like the like little skirmishes leading up to like the big one, it does seem like forever. Yeah.
Like the whole hologram thing.
That was yes. wild.
That was wild.
Oh no, they tricked you.
I was really scared starting the book off that way. Because I was like, okay, are they showing us this now, and are we gonna find out later that like Cassie and Azrael like die in this one, or that Rhys does? It's like the opposite way around, you know, like them looking for him, you know. I was like scared. I was like, we're losing everybody here. I am not ready for this book.
And still, well, I don't want to say it now, I'll say it at the end, but just like Angel has said on every episode, we're traumatized by Game of Thrones. So I'm just waiting for somebody. There's mm-hmm. like no way we could keep going and nobody dies. Like,
mm-hmm.
look at, well, I don't know. Danny just Danny gave us a face. Danny made a face. This is a recording, but Danny made a face. And well, I want to, you know, I thought the same thing, Paula. Like, I was telling Sabrina, I was like, Rhys has got to die. He's going to die. Like, it's just going to happen. And it's my Game of Thrones trauma. But then, like, do you remember when we found out Elaine was, okay, spoiler, Elaine is a seer. And
yeah.
And Cass is talking about, oh, it's going to take more than that to take me out. And she's all like,
no, it's not. Yeah.
It's not a spoiler, though, right? Like, we knew that.
You. No.
Well, I mean,
hate you, Elaine.
Elaine just literally said Cassian's going to die in some way, shape, or form. Like
in her weird Elaine way.
Right. And maybe I should, let me see.
We don't mess with Cassian.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love Rhys too, but like Cassian is the one, like don't mess with him. No, don't do it.
I love Cassian, but not like in like because I know like people are like, oh, this is my book boyfriend. I'm like, no, I just love Cassian because Cassian's like the type of person I would never be interested in, but I love Cassian.
Yeah, I love him too. The fact that he like keeps putting himself in situations for like people that like Nesta that like don't give him 2 cents. You know what I mean? It's like he just has this like
very heart protective
of gold. Yes, of his people, like. Very I just effective. Love that about him. And I love how playful he is throughout the book. Like he's not just this like 100% like steel warrior all the time. He is like that fun brother that you're like, oh, we're just going to get into trouble. You know, like
he's so like good. The kid that like has that serious side. Like, and I know there's other characters in other series that have like done this where they're like the serious one, but they know how to bring humor to make things better.
Mm-hmm.
Like, or yeah. to like break like tension. Like, they're like, okay, we need to breathe a little. So I'm going to do something. But they're like an actually like more serious type of person, but they know how to like read a room and mm-hmm. fix it.
Yeah. I was trying to find what it was that she said, but it was something about his bones.
Yeah. She said something about his like wings being ripped to shred and his.
And he was like, breaking. It'll take more than that to kill me. And she was like, no, it will not. Hey, you better take that shit back. So I was like, I need you to shut up, ma'am, please.
And, you know, and reading it back, like, it would take more than that to, like, finish him or kill him or something. Like, I'm wondering if she just means, like, because the first time he was taken down, his wings and everything were destroyed when they were dunked, right? And then the second time again, when they're fighting Highburn, he just gets, like, destroyed by Highburn too, you know what I mean? And then even in the battle, like, every time Cassian goes down, like, so maybe she meant it that way too. I don't know. But it sounds more like it's like, he's going to die.
Yeah. I was like,
which also makes me kind of nervous for like the next book. Like, so is she still foreshadowing? Like, or are we past that? Like,
we don't know.
I will tell y'all, if we get there and he dies, I'll be like this with my Kindle. It's like gone. I'm going to be so mad. I'm throwing that book.
Well, yeah, talking about deaths, like, what about the deaths that do happen in this book? Reactions to those?
To what?
To deaths that are, I don't know, is that too soon? Deaths that happen in this book?
I say,
I mean,
there is one death that broke me.
I'll tell you the one that made me celebrate, and then I'm sure the one that broke you was the one right after. when that chapter ends, that she ran into the Weaver's cottage, I was like,
yes,
oh my god, like, what is she doing there? Like, I was like, she's crazy, what is she doing in there? And then, you know, like, Ianthe comes in to look for her, and then she basically traps her in there. I was like, chef's kiss. I was like, finally, she gets hers. I was like so excited, but then heartbreak. I cried.
Me too.
I couldn't believe. First of all, I didn't realize how, I don't know, emotionally attached I was to the cereal.
To the cereal.
I was like, "What is this? Why am I crying?"
I teared up too, and I don't know if it was so much as emotional attachment as so much like how the cereal was really trying to, I guess, support or help Feyre. And she like only realized it then or something, I guess, you know, maybe that's what it was.
It was really beautifully written. Like when the cereal is like, and she's realizing like, oh yeah, you were here for me. And you like did these things for me. And you know, like you are a good person. And I could have killed you at any point, and I didn't do it. You know what I mean? And you're just like, oh, and she's like, I told you, I got to find my note here. She's like, what'd she say? I told you to stay with the High Lord.
And you did.
I told you this. And you know, it's like, oh gosh. Like, and then at the end, like when Feyre is there with her and she's told her, she's like, oh, that's what she tells her. She was like, just leave the world better than you found it. And she was like, can you just stay with me? I was like, oh my gosh. I didn't know, like, I could feel so much for this like scary creature. Like it was heartbreaking. It was like the worst death in my opinion, in this book.
I think what also happens though too is that kind of how the way these characters are portrayed, right? So like even in like, just to do an example, like with Harry Potter, right? And Dobby's portrayed, like the house elves in general are portrayed as like a kind of lower class race, right? The same way the Suriels, the water raids, all those. So anytime like Feyre kind of lifts them up or helps them, and then now then they you know, the cereal ends up dying, like we feel extra bad for them. So I think that's part of it too.
Yeah, that's one thing like I love about Feyre in this book, is that like there's no judgment on her side. Like she's like, she helped like the mermaid lady, you know, in the other book, and like now, like even though she was going to the cereal, like for something in return, like even in the first book, she like didn't leave her when, what was it? The
Naga, right?
Yeah. The Naga like came from, she could have just left it for the Naga to get it. And she didn't, like, she just like is like genuinely thoughtful of like other people's like feelings and how they just like move on this earth. You know what I mean?
I think it's because she was poor.
Oh, sure. Yeah, because,
Grace, I think that's what it is. Like, yeah, I destroyed by the cereal. And then how about the freaking Weaver and the Bone Carver are siblings? I wrote it like this big. I was like, what?
And they also expired.
Yes. I was sad the Bone Carver died.
Yeah, the bone, especially when we found out the whole Ouroboros thing, like that he never really like, oh, I just wanted to see if you were worth helping. Like that was his thing. Mm. You know what I mean? It wasn't about, I don't know, any self-interest kind of thing. So
yeah, I loved the Bone Carver. He was super creepy at first, but like he definitely like was redeemed there at the end.
And you know what else is that I remember Paula in the last pod, you had asked, wanted to know more about Amryn and where she came from and everything. And we got a little bit more of that in this book. And it sounds like, if I remember correctly, the Bone Carver, the Weaver, Amryn, they're all from the same realm, I guess, so to speak, or from they're not from Prithian or that earth.
Right.
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, I don't know if they're from the same. Did they say that they're from the same one? I just thought they said they weren't like from Prithian.
Maybe I don't remember if it's the same one or just not from Prithian. But they, but Nesta, you know, the only one having the, I guess, balls to ask her, "What's up with your eyes?" And she's like, "Nobody's ever asked me." And then we find out Amryn is like some otherworldly beast assassin.
Not a beast, assassin.
Sorry.
I want you guys to see this.
What does that say? What does it say, Paula?
Backwards, so you're probably not going to be able to see it right here. Reese is dead. What the fuck?
I screamed, Paula. I screamed.
I was like, no. And then Jude was near me. And he was like, "Are you okay?" And I was like, "No." And he was like, "What happened?" And I was like, "My favorite character died." And he was like, "That's probably why you shouldn't read my character." I was like, and I mean, it took me, I didn't go in right away. I was like, I need to step back because.
I tell you, Paula, I screamed at Sabrina. I was like, "Sabrina, you told me Reese was going to be okay. You promised." And and she just said, "Keep reading." And I was like, "Oh, does he come back? Do they do the twinkle droplets on him too?" And sure enough.
Okay, let's talk about Reese's death. So obviously it was like very upsetting. I was also like sobbing when I was like reading that. But I was also very upset that they resolved that so quickly in the book. Like, oh, okay, moving on. I'm like, he didn't just like die. And you're not even gonna, I think I would have appreciated it more if they would have like left it off and like we didn't get him back at least until the next book or something.
I feel like you can't do that because like dead is dead.
Yes. Like
there's only like a length of time you can wait to resuscitate.
There's only so long that you can use a defibrillator for.
And there's only so long that you can keep your fans from revolting and no longer reading your books because Reese is dead. Paula would have been out. She's like, "I'm done."
I'll tell you what. If I was reading a physical book, it would have ended up in the pool.
I was just like, I expected like to be a little bit harder. Like, I get that it was like so easy for them to bring back Thera because she was human. And so all of a sudden she had all this power.
That like maybe not into the next book, but the scene where she's like begging everybody, there should have been a little bit of like, there was a little resistance, but there wasn't enough
resistance for how much people don't like him. And by people, I mean not the readers, the characters around him.
Right.
But you know, I think that has a lot to do with Tarkin, right? Because Tarkin's the one who was always very like, you know, he suspected Reese was not as evil as everyone made him out to be, right? So, and when Reese was the only one who came to help them, like, and he's like, "That's what friends do," or "Isn't that what friends do?" Like, Tarkin knew, like, you know, Reese isn't a bad guy, like, and I think that kind of influences the other, because what is it, the day courts, or what is it, the solar courts are dawn, day and night, and the season courts are like the summer, and so I think that might have helped push that. But I think especially the Autumn Court, though, they like forced his hand.
Oh yeah,
Tamlin, like they like, was it favorite? Somebody said or more? I can't remember.
Yeah, I think said it was right. Morgan. Yeah, I think she told Baron. Right? Was it Baron? Like, it was like,
do it,
you better do it, or I'm not done killing today.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, I wanted, like, from the reading perspective, said, a little bit more struggle.
Yeah, when she begged, they said it was different. It was not like, because she was like, bring him back. You did it for me. And they were like, well, you were human. It was different. And it's like, but then they did it anyway. So it wasn't really that different.
Yeah. I mean, it was, oh, well, I don't want to say anything because I don't remember if it's in this book or the next one. I think it is this one. I think it is this one where they're talking about when Reese tells them, like, don't worry, I didn't take any of your powers.
Yeah, it's right there. Yeah, he says, that very next chapter.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm so kind. I didn't take, I only kept mine.
Yeah.
My wife, on the other hand.
You know, it's funny because everybody. I suspected.
Technically, well, let's just say that technically, Feyre didn't take anything. She was legit dead. They gave it to her. Right. They just didn't realize there was power within it.
The only person that took anything was Nesta.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. And we can talk about, you know. Yeah, Nesta. Nesta, my God. Nesta, just giving me a headache after headache. Why are you laughing, Paula?
Because Danny's not even looking up. She's like,
I'm making you a bracelet.
Oh, does it say Nesta on it?
It didn't say Nesta.
It says chapter 54.
Yes.
And it's in what I have decided are Night Court colors.
I love it. It's perfect.
I want to know, what were y'all, let's go like back a little bit and talk about.
Yeah, we skipped through like a whole book.
Oh, we did.
We did. Well, it's because the deaths were the most, we didn't even talk about all the deaths, but.
Prince Dagden, Princess Brenna, and Jurian.
Dave and Buster. That's what I was calling.
Dave and Buster.
I want to talk about that whole situation when they come in and everything that transpires there. Like, was anybody else, like, with Dave and Buster's, like, this relationship is icky. Like,
it gave Game of Thrones vibes.
Yeah.
I was like, and it makes me feel, like, really icky because I have boy-girl twins, so it gives me, like, the heebie-jeebies. So, it gave me the heebie-jeebies in Game of Thrones, and when I read it, I was like, oh, my God.
I think they always like creep me out, but I think part of that is from the twins and Aragorn are like super evil, conniving sets of twins. They're boy and Aragorn, but I think like I had read it close enough where I'm like, there's something wrong with them.
They're evil, soulless. They're soulless. But they were Daemadi too.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Well, just one of them, right? Not both of them?
No, I thought it was both.
I think it was both.
Oh, it may be. Like, I don't remember. Yeah.
So were the ones in Aragorn. Maybe there was some inspiration there.
It was really dope when they're sitting there all at the table, right? When they come in and they're trying to like push up into their mind, and Feyre was like, nope, not happening, bro. And they were like, ooh,
not today.
I enjoyed how they were like, things you need to know that are important. Don't let people in your minds, but we're not going to teach you how to make sure your food's not being poisoned.
Oh, yeah.
I wrote here, like, the Feybane poisoning was, like, a slick move on their part. Like, super slick. Like, nobody suspected it.
Nope.
They sure didn't.
And they should have. It still pisses me off every time I read it. I'm like, why aren't you getting this? Something is wrong with you.
They didn't teach her that. They didn't give her that skill.
Well, I think you'd think she would be smart enough to be like.
But it also sounds like Feybane was created. Like they synthesized it. It wasn't something that existed naturally. because they had to make.
You think it wasn't natural? It was a synthetic.
Right. It was, because that's what they said. Because then they made a cure for it in the was it the Dawn Court or wherever, or the Day Court, right? But I think it was a Highburn kind of like a medicine. Still. Oh wait, but Reese was shot down.
Yeah.
Oh no, but that was also Highburn stuff. Yeah, that was also Highburn stuff. Yeah.
But they knew what it was, so like they had like prior.
I think
knowledge
they just
of it.
Learned how to mass produce it.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was like a creation. I think it was more a mass production. So they may have figured out a synthetic version, but I think initially it was more plant in the forest type of situation.
Anybody get the anti-vaxxer feel?
When they were all like, nope, we ain't.
When they were
it.
Like, oh, I'm not taking that. They're like, oh, come on. You want to die instead?
Take your pick.
But right after that, like right after the scene with Ianthe and the rock, mm-hmm. and
oh, that was awesome.
I was like, it was awesome, but for me, I was reading it and I was like, oh, this is kind of
vicious.
This is, I'm gonna get you now.
Well, yeah. It was like for me, for my sisters, for Reese, for Lucian. Right? So I don't know. And I get it.
Danny, you didn't ask me how I felt about Lucian now. She's asked me every book.
We're not done. How do you feel about Lucian now?
I kind of like him right now. You know, he helped my girl out.
I mean, did he really? Wait, which girl are we talking about? Oh, you're talking about the beginning of the book. Okay.
He did, and then he, you know, he did try to like go out and do stuff. Somebody got there first. That's not his fault.
I feel like he's helping in the best way he knows how.
Nah.
I don't think so either. I think he was just doing it for his own, like he wanted to get back to Elaine. They had nothing to do with helping Feyre get through. He wanted to trip back to Elaine.
I feel like that was like part of the motivation, but I think on a deeper level that he is a good person. He just has never had something,
people,
some place, or someone to call home.
Nothing is his.
And he so,
well, I mean, technically,
a fancy one, but still,
technically, something is his. Technically, well, something
no,
is
no,
his.
We don't do this ownership shit. We don't do that. He is mated, and it's the first time where he's like, I belong with somebody at a place.
Yeah,
he's never had that. He's always had to go somewhere else. He's never had a place to that was like a home. Yeah. So yes, it might be his motivation, but I think at heart he is a good person.
Yeah,
this book
alone, that is still where I stand. Just taking up to here, like I think that he was just mm-hmm. personal. He wanted to get back to Elaine because, like, we already know, like Tamlin is his homeboy, so he's not going to like leave his homie. Yeah. You know, like,
see, I feel like even earlier than this book, he was like, I'm doing it because it's my duty more than Tamlin is my homeboy.
Mm.
I think it was more out of a sense of duty to Tamlin than Tamlin is my friend.
I definitely think Lucien's a good guy. Or maybe I want to believe he's a good guy.
But I think he's a good guy.
Yeah, I definitely want to believe he's a good guy, but a lot of his actions seem out of self-interest, right?
Yeah.
They're out of self. Like even Feyre knew, like if I leave him here, he's going to be tortured, like because they're going to see, like in the Ianthe thing, like if she leaves and just leaves him there, he's going to be tortured. So that's where she decided to fight them, right? Like and he had no choice but to leave with her, right? Like, because at that point, what's Tamlin going to believe, right? So that you set her free. I think it's self-interest. I want to believe he's doing a good thing, like he's a good friend. And part of me, I guess, kind of believes it, but a lot of his actions seem out of self-interest than anything else.
So since we're on the topic of this thing and we're talking about Lucian, I want to know, Okay, if you were in Feyre's position, right, and this happened, and you're trying to get back to the Night Court as quickly as possible, you just did some crazy stuff, and you're like, do I leave Lucien, even though he's asking me to take him, or am I out of here? Because they said she had, like, just enough to winnow out herself, and she chose not to stay with him. Like, what would you have done?
I don't think I would
have. I think I would have chunked the deuce. I think I would have left him.
I don't know what I'm going. I don't know what I'm going into. She has enough to winnow out away from the area, but not to get home. So there's stuff that's going to be happening. You're in a world where you've only seen two of the courts. I'm taking my local knowledge with me. And that is Lucien. He is local knowledge. He knows the area. He knows the best way. That knowing that you have now been drugged and you aren't at full strength, you need every advantage you can get, and he is your advantage.
Trisha's like, nope, Slytherin, out.
I still want to chunk.
I didn't catch Paula's answer. Did Paula say she would stay and fight for him?
Yeah, I would definitely take him with me.
Okay,
but that's for my personal reasons, because I like, he was my favorite in the first book, so.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
I was surprised.
In the book, I had to hate him, and then now I.
As a Ravenclaw, I want the smart person.
I know she was. I know she was like muffled on the bond, but I was surprised she didn't like reach out. But that was because of the apple, right, and everything.
Yeah.
It was the thing. She didn't just reach out and say like, oh, "Where?" I mean, oh, sorry, that's my dollar to the swear jar. Oh.
Thank you for your sponsorship.
We're screwed. You know, like, and she didn't send that to Reese and be like, come get me or come help, right? Because as soon as her powers, I guess, came back on, they kind of knew where she was at.
Yeah.
Too, I think it's just because they'd been like drugging her for who knows how long. So you don't know. So like she can feel some of it, but you don't know how long it's going to take for it to come back.
How about when Asriel shows up?
Ooh.
I was like, yeah.
Me too. I was like, that whole thing was so tense. Leading up to like their little travel, they're trying to get away from the brothers, and I was like, "Ooh, how's she gonna get out of this?" And then you're like, "Yeah,
Frozen 2." In my head, that's what was happening. When have you seen Frozen 2?
Frozen 2.
You know when else was like trying to get across the ocean? That's how that battle happened in my head.
Mm. Oh, I see.
The ice a shadow slammed into the earth before us, cracked the ice towards every horizon. Not a shadow, an Illyrian warrior. I was like,
he is a shadow, technically.
I know.
He's a shadow singer.
He's another one that if something happens to him, I think I would be devastated.
I'm throwing arms.
I'm
going.
Oh, well, maybe we have hope.
I don't think I would be as devastated as Cassian, because I also feel like he like has this kind of like weird situation with Mor. Right, where he feels like he has to constantly protect her or stand up for her, which feels like very like overbearing. And so I don't know that I would be like
turned off the screen, guys.
Yes, we find out in this chapter. We find out in this book, Danny, that Mor
is playing him.
Is it? Yeah, well yeah. Really, she's protecting herself, knowing the environment. Right. She's protecting herself, knowing the environment.
I will not be adding input on this subject.
I totally get that, but I do feel bad for him because like he does love her. And I know
he
that
loves
like,
she loves her.
She loves him too, though.
I know.
Not in the same way.
She loves him and he is in love with her.
Yeah. Right. She loves him and he is in love with her. Yeah.
And so you do feel bad.
Danny wants to say something, but she doesn't know if she can.
There are characters you are going to meet, and then there's none of these characters are together. There are some characters you're going to meet in Silver Flames, and I have high hopes, but I don't know.
Mm.
They're my shipping. I am shipping certain couples in Silver Flames.
I can't wait to finally be able to ask you a question.
You meet some characters that I like adore.
You can ask you stuff.
What?
I said two more books and then we can ask you stuff.
All right. Come on, y'all.
Then Danny doesn't have to turn off her camera anymore.
So in that same scene, like where Asriel and Cassian come in, One of my favorite parts, obviously, was them coming in, but I love that, like, when that Cassian, like, just immediately starts giving Feyre shit. Like, we've been training this whole time, girl. Like, what are you doing? Like, boss up, girl. Come on. Like,
now I'm going to teach you how to detect poison.
Yeah.
You know, as he was doing, like, next day, he's like, you're coming to class. These are poisons. We're going to work on this.
I need you to smell them, taste them.
And then once they get back to Velaris, like, one of my favorite things about Reese is, like, how cool and chill he is. Like, he's been away from his lady all this time in, like, the enemy's camp. And, like, when he comes in, he's just like, what's up, guys? You know, like, so chill. That would not have been me. I'd have been like,
mm-mm. Yeah, and Lucian said, so you're High Lady of the Night Court. And he said, indeed she is. I did. Yeah. I squealed. I was like,
I just love how, like, chill he always is.
There are no High Ladies.
Yeah, there is now.
So I remember asking. Oh, I don't know. I don't know if I should. Is this a good time to transition to this question? I remember asking in the last pod whether or not Tamlin deserved a redemption arc. And in this book, thoughts?
I don't know.
We're getting closer.
Yeah, I'm not ready.
I'm not ready to commit to him needing a redemption arc, but in this book, we are getting closer that there may be some hope for him yet.
Yeah, like, thank you for saving them when they were running away. And thanks for the twinkle droplet. Dark Poppy appreciates.
Thanks for letting everyone know you're actually a traitor to everyone now.
Yeah, thanks for slut-shaming my girl, Feyre. I don't know.
Yeah,
I
gotta get into that.
I have some problems with that. That was hard to read. Just the way he
was visceral.
Yeah, and it's like, it's not just you, her, and Reese. Because if it's like that, then you're like, okay. But it's like a table full of High Lords, and you're here.
At a professional meeting.
At a professional
meeting. Attacking the only High Lady.
Exactly. And I was like, ugh.
Also, I just want to know who could walk into a room that's like that, look at Reese as Anne Cassian and be like, I'll come out of this fine.
Good.
Like, girls got some guards.
Yeah. Be careful how you speak about my High Lady.
Yeah, that's right.
I was like, rare.
And, you know, and Reese also, you know, power flexing there too, saying like, I could just control your minds. That would just be easier, right? Like, yeah. But I'm not.
Well, so. That was like always the thing is that nobody knew what Reese's powers were.
Mm.
Like, they didn't know everything he can do, and they still might not know everything he can do. We might not know everything he can do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. Like, afterwards, like, I believe it was Hellion, the day court. Like, when they all meet up afterwards, he's like, dang, bro, I didn't know we were, like, coming in cool. I was, like, been an asshole the whole time.
What about you, Maury?
Yeah, I guessed it. I guessed it before they said it. I was so happy. I was like, wait a second. That's why they all hate him. They all hate him.
The whole back and forth between Feyre and Reese, like when she starts to realize, she's like, I felt like it was like in A Beautiful Mind, like the pictures, like, I was like, oh. He was like, whatever you figured out, change your face. I'm gonna need you to reel in, and then we'll talk about it later. You need to fix your face. I love that whole, she was like, everything that.
And so who do you guys think knows? Because obviously he doesn't. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I think obviously everybody except him knows.
You think so? So we say Baron, his whole family. But does his mom know, do you think?
Yeah.
The mom obviously
she
knows.
Loves
but
him.
I meant yeah.
That's her. I'm sorry. Baby.
I meant yes,
yeah, I was I thinking think that's more why of like
middle child.
I meant like, did she tell Baron or did Baron just kind of guess? Like, it sounds more like he just guessed, right?
I think it's
Aaron assumption. Knows.
I think it's an assumption, yeah. You know, there was no DNA test back then. I don't know what year this is set in, but I don't think they had DNA test.
I don't think fairies DNA have DNA test.
But then, also think about this. Like, Baron is, like, a bad dude. Like, would he be cool with that if he knew? I don't think so.
I
think Aerys has figured it out on his own. I think he knows. And I think the mom knows. And I think that's it. I do not think that the other brothers and Baron knows.
Okay.
Because there would have been some form of retaliation.
Mm-hmm. Right. Like, they keep trying to kill him or something, but not actually following through, right?
Right.
So that's why I was asking, who do you guys think actually knows? Because Rhys, Feyre, and the mom and the brother. Like, I think that's kind of where
it's at. No offense, but a lot of the Fey are not observant. These Fey are not the most observant. For having heightened senses, they miss things right in front of their eyeballs.
Yeah, that's probably why.
It's all the glowing, you know? You're so glowy, it just throws you off.
So, the predictions, do we think... I thought immediately, I was like, you know what? It's funny, because I thought after this war, I thought eventually Helion, right? Or is it Thessen? Who's the pappy? Helion is the baby daddy. So I wondered if so this brings me 2 points. One, I expected the war is gonna end, people are gonna Lucien might step into his role. Like, I thought Helion was gonna die and Lucien would take his role as rightful. Like, I thought that was all gonna play out in this book. But the other thing is, I don't think Aerys is as bad as he's being painted out to be. I don't think
so.
And Danny said someone deserved a redemption arc that was not Tamlin. And I think it's Aerys.
I think it is too. I think Aerys deserves, and I agree with you, Angel. I don't think he's as bad, because when he had that conversation with Moore and what happened to her, he's like, you don't really know what happened. You only know your side of it. I definitely think he's not as bad as.
And he admitted to who do you think helped Lucien go across the border.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I think, I don't know. And maybe should we be supporting his claim to the Autumn Court throne?
I don't know yet.
I'm team Aerys for the Autumn Court.
I'm team nobody. I don't know yet.
Because Lucien is going to be, he's eventually going to have to find out, right, that his daddy is who his daddy is. And he's going to be High Lord of the Day Court.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll find out eventually. Look at Danny.
Danny's eyebrows. She had like a little cartoon eyebrow moment.
Maybe we don't find out in Silver Flames. Maybe we find out in the other book coming out next year or whatever.
Danny, I have a question for you.
42.
What?
40. She said chapter 42. That's all she said.
No, I didn't. I didn't say chapter.
Oh, she just
from said Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. It's a nerd quote. What is your question?
Does Silver Flame end on a cliffhanger?
I know the answer to that question.
Don't think.
Like, do you feel like when you finish Silver Flame that you're done?
I don't feel that I'm done, because there's other characters I want more information about and other things are still happening. But I do feel like it doesn't leave you like, what the hell?
Okay. All right.
That's good.
So it's at a point where you know there's something's coming up, but I don't think you're like, this happened, cut scene. It's not one of those.
You mean it's not Rhys died, cut to black?
No. It has a very good ending with the knowledge that there was going to be a lot of time till the next book.
Okay.
When did Silver Flame come out?
It came out in 2021.
Oh, yeah.
So then we're overdue.
I think we'll have an announcement before the end of the year when the next book comes out, or the possibility that it'll be released like January of next year. Based on when Crescent City came out, I feel like they might stick to like the same type of timeline.
Okay.
Like a January timeline, all right.
Well, because Silver Flame came out in February and Crescent City was in January. So I feel like beginning of 2025, we may have the next book.
That's so long from now.
Oh, yeah.
You got to get comfortable. When you read fantasy, you're going to have to get comfortable with unfinished series, because that's most of them, apparently. That's the only complaint I have about the genre. The only complaint.
Well, is Throne of Glass, like, is it finished?
This is questionable. Okay. It was believed to be finished. And then when Crescent City came out, they did a huge update to Sarah J. Maas's website. And prior to that, it said completed series. And those magical words disappeared with the update.
Oh.
And
where are the receipts, Danny? Who has the screenshots? Is it on Reddit? Is it on Reddit?
There, I have theories that we will discuss in the future that could tie both of the books together as a possibility. So I don't think we're going to get like a ton of books, but as Madi put it, we may get a crossover episode. I think there is a realm of possibility where there is a book where the characters from both series meet, but I don't think we have a lot more, unless there's like a new story she has. I think Throne of Glass ended at a good closure point, unless it moves into the problems that are happening in Perithian.
Is it the same timeline or it's not?
They are overlapping timelines, and that has been confirmed by Sarah J. Maas. So as I think I mentioned this on the live, I think, and Madi like messaged me and it like blew her mind. She's like, are you sure? This is a theory. I think they exist like on the same planet in different continents.
Oh, I think you said, I remember you saying that during the live.
So I think these are happening, overlapping each other on different continents, where the politics of each other doesn't really affect the other yet. And that's where I think we may get more information, is that I think it is a yet.
All right. I'm new to this book thing.
This is all Danny theories.
Yeah, Danny.
Don't come at me if something happens and you're like, you are wrong. I'm like, this is a theory.
Okay, I got a question. So let's skip ahead when the Cauldron takes Elaine to the Highburn camp, and Azriel and Feyre decide they're going to go rescue her, okay? And Feyre's like, oh, I'm going to pretend like I'm Ianthe, right? They're never going to know. And the moment she walks in, Jurien knows right away. Like, he's like, what's up, Feyre? It's like, what? You are not doing a good job. But
hey, ho, what you doing here?
but Jurien knows both of them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jurien knows Ianthe very well and has been around, like, knows enough about Feyre. Like, I think any other random stranger could have possibly worked. So like, if I'm pretending to be someone that Paula knows, she's going to be like, girl, no.
So here's my question. In that whole, like, sequence of things that happens, right? So Feyre is like, oh, I can't leave this other chick here to die. So can we get her in the mix too? Like, would you have gone back for the other lady?
This is the same question you had about Lucien over here earlier.
They're different though. I feel like they're different dynamics because we don't really know this random.
Feyre is known to protect people.
Yeah,
but I want to know from your perspective, like, what would you have gone?
I think this chick's going to show up later on in some way. I don't know how, but I think she's coming back. I think there's something important about her that we don't know.
Yeah, because they said, like, they gave her a name, right? Like,
she is a named character. We know where she ends up at the end.
She ends up at the Winter Court, right? Didn't they take her to the Winter Court? I'm pretty sure they gave her to...
She went to one of the courts and they gave an explanation. Why would we get that background information if she's not going to come into play later on?
That's exactly what I always think. The author is like,
not a random character. You don't write in a random character just for a rescuing.
Right.
You don't do that. And then you don't tell us, update us on where that person is. Something's up and she's going to be used for something in the future.
So Danny, you would have rescued her?
Yeah.
Not me. I think Feyre had her priorities crossed. She was there for Elaine. Who is this other one? You know what I mean? Maybe she felt a tug on a different bond. I don't know. Who knows?
Maybe Feyre's a Hufflepuff. I don't think I could leave somebody behind.
Someone needs help. I'm going to do what I can to help them.
She also said, though, I think it was she said it was some sort of guilt because of Claire. Right. Yeah. And the fact she gave the wrong name. So that's there. I think there's some of that in play.
What, me? I wouldn't have left her. Absolutely not.
You're such a good Hufflepuff.
Yeah. Well, I think it's different, right? Like, if I couldn't help them, I don't know if I'd grab them, but if you can help them, you know, maybe you do, right?
Yeah. I think if the
stakes, I mean, she got her high,
she did like, barely.
Did you die? No.
She got out because
Tam was sacrificing herself.
Tamlin went, whoop.
I mean, y'all already know my answer to this question. I would have chunked a deuce on this girl unless she was like on my way already and it was like not out of the way. Like, I came here for my sister and that's it. I'm sorry about your situation, but no. I got.
Feyre's gonna naturally sacrifice herself first before anyone else
because she has trauma from killing those innocents.
Exactly, but from the first book. Yep,
she can't leave those people there.
I was going to say, because I would think I would want to sort Feyre into Gryffindor because of her like bravery, but I think it's more Hufflepuff really in the willing to help others, because helping her family, helping loyalty. All those Fae, right?
Loyalty.
The
loyalty.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So I think she's more Hufflepuff, and I don't think that's going to change by the end of the book because she seems very Hufflepuff vibes.
Yeah. In the section where she,
in a very kick ass kind of way, like not just like, you know what I mean? Not like just
not like Elaine.
Not like, yeah, exactly. Elaine. Oh my God. Elaine.
Elaine is currently houseless in my mind. I don't have enough information.
Well, she's mated to the day court.
Don't mean anything. People have choices here.
That's true. And I think so in terms of choices, it seems like, I don't know, Asriel and Elaine have a little bit of a.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He handed her a truth teller.
Right. And we don't know. Does Asriel love more or Elaine more? I don't know.
I think there's someone out there better than Elaine for Az.
I hope so.
Yes, I agree.
Because Elaine's empty here.
I can't wait for you to meet them.
I literally put in here, Elaine is so lame. Finally, she did something other than pout in the corner. But
he hocus pocused.
She's the worst. Both of the sisters, I'm like, oh, y'all should have just left them. Thanks a lot. Auntie.
Hey.
I'm still hurt. Yeah.
Nesta stabbed some people. Nesta got some shit done. I know you hate her, in this book, you know.
No, she wasn't sitting
around.
She
did some shit this book. She didn't just sit around planting flowers.
That's valid. But she, didn't do a lot either. Because I wrote in here, literally about Nesta. I was like, girl, you could have been training with Cassie in this whole time, he was telling you.
She did.
Instead of just being like
some training,
maybe one time.
She turned off her camera. She trained with Amarin. She trained with Amarin to kind of, because they recognized or whatever that they were connected, right? Her and the cauldron or whatever. Yeah, she was made. So, and it's funny because I think Amarin say something like, oh, you know, you're like me in some way. She said we're alike. And I think it was more about, to like is what the Suriel had told Feyre. But I think there was something about the fact that Amarin is kind of this vastness bound to this body. And I think that's what she meant, that Nesta is this apparently very, I think she has more power. She has a lot of power that's kind of trapped in this body. I think that's kind of how Amarin makes it sound.
I predict that by the end of Silver Flames, Paula will cry for Nesta.
Oh, I think so too. I think so too.
I mean, it's me.
Yes.
There is a moment specifically.
She cried for the cereal. Yeah.
There is a specific moment, and I'm like, that moment. Paula's going to cry for Nesta.
I hope so.
We need to write it on a piece of paper.
Yeah, write the chapter.
I'll pull up the book and grab the chapter.
I hope you guys prove me wrong, because right now Nesta's just on my shit list. So
yeah, same.
I think she's so. This book, I still am not loving her, but I didn't hate her as much.
I still didn't like her in this book.
Yeah, I don't love. You know, I'm not . But I did like the little hints, that she loves Cassian.
Yes, yes. That's what I was going to say. Yes.
So I had a couple moments.
She called for him, right? I know. He would have died if she didn't call for him. So she knew. And then, and when Hybern was going to kill him, like, she threw herself on top of him. So,
I don't think you're doing that for your sister, girl. Why are you doing it for this man?
Right, exactly.
Yeah. The Winx fan.
The mating bond is strong.
But are they mates?
I just want to say that Danny has turned off her camera 4 times during
in the last 30 seconds. It does not say they're mates. I predicted in book 2 that they were mates. I think they're mates, and I think Cassian is holding it in the same way Rice held it in, didn't so tell Feyre. I think they're mates, because even the beginning, their first interaction in A Court of Mist and Fury, when they went to go protect, and Cassian was like, I'll protect you with my life. You know what I mean? Like, he's like, I kind of feel something for this human. So
might be just the Illyrian in him.
Maybe.
I got the same vibe, Angel, like thinking that, like, oh, maybe he like saw the way Rhys did it and it worked out for him. Like, and the way this is happening for Lucien, this is not working out for him.
Like, yeah, don't keep this on the cool.
That's such a good point. Like, this worked, this didn't. Guess which way
I'm going this way.
Had a lot. His Lucien's search history is like, how to lock in the mating bond. How not to lock in.
Hi. Poor Cassian,
pretend I don't know.
Pretend I don't know, exactly.
Rhys, I won.
Rhys has all the pointers. He knows how to do it. What about what she saw in the mirror, in the Ouroboros? Like, I don't want to tell anybody. She didn't tell anybody, right?
Mm-mm.
No.
What she saw?
Mm-mm. No.
She told the bone carver, right? Oh no, she just gave him, I think she just gave him the mirror. Wait, did she tell the bone carver?
I think she just told the bone carver, like, I saw myself. Like,
right, yeah, because I think he asked. Yeah.
It was a little spooky.
It was.
Yeah, it was very scary.
The mirror of Vera said?
The mirror of Vera said, yeah.
Maybe more like I don't know if desire is the right word for that one.
Yeah, I was going to say, she would have saw the little bone carver in there.
Anybody else was confused when Lucien's daddy showed up after the surreal dad?
Yes.
I was like, where
did you come from, bro?
Right.
What are you doing here?
Find out that it was that he was, like, helping Rhys get the weaver or whatever. But I was like, yo, who are you?
I immediately thought, like, oh, shit, is he a bad guy?
Right, like, I thought so, too.
Is he a dual agent here? Because we had some dual agents going on. Like, we haven't really talked about Jurian, but, like, I was like, oh, no. Is he flipped to the other side? I was worried. Yeah, that scared me.
No longer an eyeball.
What does everyone think about Jurian?
I didn't think he was a good guy. Like, I never, like, crossed. Because at the end of Mist and Fury, he just seems so unhinged, so crazy. Mm-hmm. Like, when you're reading it, I was like, this guy is nuts. So, like,
this guy is an episode of Criminal Minds.
I was like, there's something wrong with you. And it might be that he was just an eye and a bone for a long time. But when he revealed that he was, like, really helping them, I still was like,
I didn't believe him either.
Skeptical. Yeah, skeptical.
Yeah.
I was like, he's playing games.
And then she was like, oh, I trust him. And I was like, girl, you trust too many people.
I didn't trust him until he helped her out when she was in the Hybern camp. And I was like, all right, he's like risking himself for real right now.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, all right.
I have a question now, actually.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry. No, finish up.
I was just going to say, that's also when, like, my perception or feelings about Tamlin changed slightly.
A little bit. Only in
I said a little slightly.
Carry over. I wasn't like, even when he gave his what do you call them, twinkle droplets to Rhys. I still felt like, okay, fine, you did this, great. But really, he did it for you once, too. Like, because he gave her, Rhys gave him Feyre back, even though he was never.
Yeah, it was never his to begin with.
but I was like, you know, in those moments, you're like, oh, okay, maybe he's, like, turning a corner. But I still didn't feel like this is it. Like, he's a good guy. No.
I do feel for Tamlin. Like, while I don't think he is the best, I do think that he, like, really did love her. I mean, like, and, like, I don't know how I would feel if, like, someone that I was, like, in a relationship with And then I was in this really horrible situation, and they sacrificed themselves knowing how weak and fragile they were to like protect me and my people. Like, I do think that he like truly like loved her, but, and then I feel bad because like, even though I don't agree with his, like, that's my property, you know, situation, I do see how he could be very protective of her after that situation, and how that could be hard for him to, but I'm not saying he's a good guy. I'm just saying I do feel for him a little. Like,
I don't feel for him because I feel like it's too little too late. Yeah. Like, this is
fair.
Okay. You're trying. I'll give you that. You're trying, but not yet, buddy. Flaviano.
That's fair. You had a question, Angel?
I was going to ask about Daddy Archeron or Acheron. Oh, what's her last name?
Archeron.
Right. Yeah. So, cause I was like, oh great, you showed up on a ship. Like that's not, you were still like useless. What do you think? Redemption or no redemption?
No redemption.
And even then he wasn't even useless until the end.
And he's like,
what I mean?
2 minutes of helping out does not solve decades of neglect.
Yes. Agreed. Yeah. Agreed.
You know what it's like? It's like, and I think, this is what I think, like, that Nesta's, like, one of her issues is that, right? Yeah. Like, how am I supposed to, like, yes, it's sad he died. I had to watch him die. It was horrible. But, you know, like, when somebody's bad and they die and people are like, oh, you know, but he died. Well, that doesn't change that he sucked. You know, so
exactly.
I think that might be like part of her little like anger.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a small part of it is that she's, you know, torn. Like, yes, it's my father. Yes, he tried to save us and then he died, but he still sucked.
Yeah, I think she's having trouble because like she was like so critical of him. So I think she's like, man, maybe I could have been nicer to him.
Nah, she didn't need to be nicer.
I agree. I literally wrote in my book, Dad died, wasn't sad about it.
I mean, I didn't get sad. Like, I got, like, shocked, right? Because he just got there and then he was like, boom, dead.
I mean, I also don't know what he was expecting.
Thanks for showing up.
Coming up all the way to, like, the King of Highburn and he's just, like, a mortal, like a human. Bro, you ain't got nothing in your old. You only got one good leg. Like, you know? Yeah, I didn't care for the dad. I didn't think there was redemption there. Not for me, at least.
And then there's the whole intro of all these characters, right? Like Miriam and Dracon, what's Dracon? Yeah. And then the Firebird, like Queen.
Yeah.
So I understand, correct. Just help me. I'm clear.
I have very little notes on Queen Vasa because I still...
Are you confused?
Where she came from?
Right. Yeah. So my understanding is we have the human queens that Rice went to go ask for help in A Court of Mist and Fury, right? Mm-hmm. And they asked for proof. They're like, bring back proof. But in that meeting, the queens, there was four of them, right?
Yeah.
And is Vasa the one that wasn't there? She's the one that was sick.
Yeah.
Is that who she is?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So she was always a queen, but she was sick. Then we have, and then one of these four queens is the one that sold them out, or didn't sell them out, but she gave the book to Rhys.
Right, and so she was the one that killed her. She's not really sick.
Right, she's not really sick. And so she's dead, she's still sick, and these three queens are cursed because they got old.
Which is one of them, right? Only one of them.
The one that went into the cauldron.
Yeah, the other two wouldn't get in after it happened.
Oh, okay. So only one of those queens is immortal.
Yeah.
As far as we know.
They're all immortal.
They are?
Because they've lived for like hundreds of years. I thought they all had like a gift. Maybe not like immortal.
They have being like something. Because
they've already lived past their expiration.
Their age. Okay.
So then why would you want to go to the cauldron?
Yeah, I'm still a little confused on the whole what's happening in the human realm with their, I guess... monarchy
situation.
So I'm still a little confused. I need a little bit more story on there. And
how much do we know about our bird girl?
Not that she's much. Cursed. Okay. That she spends. She's cursed, a fire.
She's a fire bird in the daytime
at night. I think, and queen in the day, or something, one or the other way.
Okay.
Yeah. And that Miriam and Drakon left. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't as, I guess, Jurian wasn't as jealous as we thought or as the world painted him out to be.
Well, he wanted to ask for forgiveness for what he did.
Okay.
Definitely, like, they introduced all these characters so fast with very little, like...
Right. They just came out of nowhere.
You're just like, beep, 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 beep. Like,
you will get some backstory on all of the above.
Good. Well, Danny did say we're getting new characters in Silver Flame, so I hope it's not as rushed as this one seemed, because...
Mm-hmm. If we get new there's two characters specifically that...
Because if we get new characters, we need some backstory. They can't be rushed like Queen Vasa and all this.
Two characters that are almost main characters in the next book.
Oh, wow.
Like, almost main.
They're featured a lot. I wouldn't call them like a main character, but... We interact with them a lot.
Probably Drakon and...
We haven't met them yet.
Ooh. She says they're new. Oh. She says we don't even know their names.
Interesting.
That's what I'm saying. Hopefully we get backstory on them too, because...
Yeah. No, you will get backstory on all of the above, but you're also going to get two amazing new characters.
Good. I don't want to be more confused. I don't want to be more confused. That's all.
And who will hopefully become friends with other characters that we love and adore.
And can we get some character names that are not so similar to other people's names? Because, like, I kept getting Vivian, which is, like, Moore's, like, bestie.
But and then, that's married to...
Yeah, one of the...
Kallias.
Yeah. And then there is Varian... who is like the prince of Adriata underneath Tarkin. And I'm like,
that's Aaron's man.
Yeah. Yes. And I love their relationship. I love the two of them together.
I love when Aemryn received the blood diamonds.
Yeah. She's like, I'm keeping these. These are mine.
And like, Aemryn's like, you're not getting those back, you know? I love how much Aemryn is like an otter and she just likes shiny things.
Mm-hmm.
Did you mean Niffler? Sorry.
A Niffler works too, but an otter does like shiny things. I specifically went for otter. There's otters in Crescent City.
Ooh, I like that.
My favorite sea creature is an otter.
Mine too.
So will I like Crescent City then?
They're not like a main character. They deliver the mail. They're little otters and they wear little yellow vests and they bring letters.
That's so cute.
So they're the owls.
Not like everyday. They're not like the daily postmen, but they do like do a lot of deliveries, and I love it.
That's so cute.
Hey, how about when Cassian is delivering his love letter to Nesta, and Elaine stabs the king in the neck? Like it happened like right afterwards. I was like, oh shit. I was like, he's like, you know, I don't have any regrets. Only that we didn't have time. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, no, that'll ruin the mood. And then Nesta went and like beheads
the king.
Yeah.
She's like, hold that thought.
She's like, thanks, Cassian. That was cute. But let me finish my job here.
Yeah.
That was adorable. You know, that letter. I was thinking about the speech that Rhys gave before they went into battle, and he was like, I would have never known this if I was like, oh man.
I know. And that's when I was like, he's gonna die.
Yeah.
I was like, he's gonna die. He's telling all these people why he loves them. He's gonna die. And I'll tell you what, for this book specifically, I ran into a spoiler on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And it was not like that it said spoiler and I didn't swipe away. It was just a girl. I'm going to describe it to you. It was a girl like sitting on her bed like this. And I don't know why. And I usually scroll silently until I see something pop up. But it was like, and then it just said, when you hear this, your heart will break. And I was like, well, I feel like crying. Why not? So I opened it. I put the volume up so I could hear it. And it's Feyre screaming Rhys, like when he's dead. And I was like, so I am so glad that happened in this book, because I don't think I would be able to finish. Not, and I couldn't tell anybody because I didn't want, like, I didn't even tell Danny. I just told everybody. I'm pretty sure I ran into a spoiler. I just don't know what book it's for. And I didn't want to tell anybody because first I obviously, like, I don't want to ruin it for somebody else. But then I didn't want, like,
confirmation or denial, because that's a spoiler in of itself,
right? So I was like, oh my god,
it's gonna be like, he doesn't die, and then you get to the scene where he dies and you're like, excuse me.
Yeah, exactly. So I was like, so when he died, I was like, oh, this is it. You know, well, at least it happened, but I was devastated. But
yeah, PSA for anybody listening to this who's reading these books for the first time and you're on Instagram, stay off the explore page. Like, yeah. Don't go to the explore page. No,
but even if I, so look, if I go into my feed, right, and I click on a reel, it could be a Harry Potter reel, okay? The next one, Throne of Glass, Crescent City.
You want to know more? You are consistently posting reels that are tagged as Sarah J. Maas and Akatar, so you are going to naturally get them. Yeah. You share them, right? Like, you engage with them way too much to not get them.
And all I did was like one of them and send one to Sabrina. I was like, oh, hey, this is funny because I read this. And all my explore page was Akatar. And I just had to stop because I was like, well, I don't want to spoil anything. And Mel just mentioned, you know, she spoiled already that scene.
Which one?
Mel geeking out with Melly Mel.
I don't know. What got spoiled?
The Reese's death. There's a fan art. There's fan art in the explore page. And you know, it's funny. As soon as I went to my explore page, I saw the fan art she was talking about. Like, Feyre's laying on top of Reese. And like, so she's, but you know, she's in book one and she loves Tamlin. You know what I mean?
He finished it though. And she said, oh, but I think I kind of like, I don't think Reese is such a bad guy. And I was like, mm-hmm. Dark Bobby. Yeah.
I told her you're going to love book two. You're going to love book two. That's all.
Yeah, she had already ordered it. She hadn't started it yet. But listen, we started within ourselves. We started a trend. I don't care what anybody says. It was popular before, but now
it's like making a comeback.
It's making a comeback. It's still here.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. Yeah, every time I get like one of those like reels, like my friend told me to read this book.
It's like stacking.
The stacking. And then it's like the one I shared it in my stories yesterday, like that you read it and then you're crying all of a sudden, like, this is a really good book. Like, but yeah, that was Danny. It's Danny's fault.
I hope you'll like doing more. I hope you'll like more of the fantasy genre. Like, you'll like, because I know you said you really love this book, or at least A Court of Mist and Fury. And I guess by the end of the series, I'm sure you're gonna be like, I love this series.
Right.
And I hope you, I don't know, because I've heard other series, I don't know, are better. You know what I mean? Like, I hear there's other ones that are great. So I'm like, ooh, you know, like I have a bunch on my TBR already.
Oh, my TBR is ridiculous. I didn't read until this year, and now all of a sudden I have 80 books on my TBR.
So I hope you find, like, I know right now the Fourth Wing thing, right? And you put it down. I think you said you put it down.
I'm not ready for it.
Yeah. So I hope, like, and that one's good too, you know? So I hope that you still find another one that's just as good or still good, because
that's my concern. My concern is that I won't.
Like, did we set the bar too high?
Yeah, did I set the bar too high? Like, should I have not read this first? Should I have read Fourth Wing first?
There's other series out there. Like, I think you might like the Cruel Prince series, which I really do enjoy, from Holly Black.
I think
I heard a lot of people say
we were talking about it in our Fairy Book Club chat.
Mm. Okay. I haven't read that one. Yet it's not on my TBR either.
So,
but
I like them, and there's a duology with it. So,
okay.
But the duology is only like two or three books. The most recent one just came out.
Yeah.
This one I like though. I like this one. Oh wait, are we still on? What was the question, Trisha?
Okay, I got a fun question. So, you know, Lucien got this robot eye, right? It's supposed to allow him to see through glamour, right? Like, so how did he not see through Feyre's when she
He did see through it. He didn't believe her the whole time.
Yeah, but it in the there's a part where she like she let go of the glamour, and then he could see the tattoo that was like their mating bond tattoo. Because remember, she talked about how she like covered it up.
Right.
The other one was gone.
I got the impression that he knew from the beginning that something. I don't think he knew like that they were mated or whatever, but he knew that she was playing a game.
I think and the only one that knew was Alice.
Do we know for certain
Alice?
Do we know for certain that?
I hope so.
Oh, I had a question about that. Does she come back? Because it's funny when I mentioned it to Sabrina, she's like, "Oh, I forgot about her," and it was in the first book.
Oh my gosh! When that battle first happened, over, I was like, "Oh my gosh, is Alice okay? Like, where are her
the Summer Court battle?" Yes.
Yeah. I thought they were gonna find her when Feyre and Mor were, you know,
I was
helping all the soldiers.
I didn't get to hear from her.
Did we find out that the eye does see through glamour? Like, did they explicitly state that? I don't remember that.
I thought they talked about that in the first book.
Maybe.
I don't think it says that it sees through glamour. I think that they say, like, it helps him to, like, see, and it's enhanced, but I don't think it specifically sees through glamours. I think all the fairies are kind of trained to try to see through a lot of glamours, depending on the level they are.
Yeah. Okay. But it's like Danny said earlier too, right? They don't see anything right under their noses. So
fair.
All right. Any last thoughts on Wings and Ruin?
Can't wait to see the hype about Nesta.
We can't wait to fall in love with Nesta.
Yeah.
Not me.
Danny, tonight I need you to write on a piece of paper what chapter.
I'll go put a sticky note in it. Here's my book.
Paula cried.
So we can emotionally prepare ourselves.
Because you know, when I share stuff in my stories, I share the chapter because I figure, number one, if you're reading it, you could just grab the book and look at the chapter and be like, oh, okay.
Because people I'm not going to tell you the chapter because I don't want you to be expecting it.
But I don't know. I don't expect you to tell me the chapter. I want you to put a little piece of paper in there. And when I start crying, and I want the paper to have the chapter, even though it's going to be in that chapter, and the today's line. Date.
Oh, today's date. I'm waiting to see the hype. That's all.
Yeah.
I'm impatient.
Are any of you reading anything that's not Frost and Starlight to recommend? Because Paula and I did our recommendations that we're reading right now on yesterday's episode, so we really don't have anything new to add.
Well, I did start Matthew Perry's memoir.
Oh, nice.
You know, because I guess I want to cry. I don't know.
I'd rather you read that than look at spoilers.
I've gotten really good at swiping away. Like,
I'm still reading Kingdom of the Wicked. But I put it down when Paula said, all right, we're starting Frost and Starlight. I was like, let's go. And I read Frost and Starlight in a day.
You did. I was like, I finished it in a day. And I was like, he's already done.
I finished it in a day. But, and I only fell asleep once. So, but it was good. It was good.
Let me know when you start Silver Flames and I may do a reread with you guys.
Well, I'm going to do.
Will you join us on Storygraph?
Yes. Yes, you will.
Sure.
Yay.
Okay, send me the info, Danny, so I can add you.
Right. So see, that's what I'm saying. But I don't know if I start Silver Flames until Paula says, okay, let's go. And then I'm going to wait. Listen, when Paula says, let's go.
I say read your book.
I'm going to be on a train this weekend for 6 hours. So
there it is.
I'm going to be done with Frost and Starlight. I just want you to know, Rudy finished Frost and Starlight.
What? When?
You finished it yesterday.
This one, yeah. I recommend it.
Can you say the title and the author?
It is Kingdom of the Wicked by Carrie. I think her last name's Italian.
Scalco.
Yeah. I recommend it. I think I talked in the last pod what it was about. It's like, I still think it's like a friends to lovers thing. And I think I'll finish it tonight, but it's good. What about you, Trisha? Anyone
else reading anything else that they would like to recommend?
I am not reading anything else. I am like a one lane reader. I tried to start Ready Player One because my husband told me I needed to read it. And I like tried to get into it, but my brain is just like over here. Like, I want to read.
You're in Valaris.
Yes.
I will always recommend fantasy. Ready Player One is one of the only books I own on all of the devices.
Oh, wow.
And I reread it on multiple devices because it's my go-to road trip book. Will Wheaton reads it, and if you've heard anything from me, Will Wheaton is like the one celebrity I would love to meet. He's okay. Like top of the list for me. And he's an amazing reader to the point that I actually search for audiobooks that he reads. And then I have the physical copy and then an ebook copy because I always just want it. Because it's a book I go to all the time. I'm like, oh, I'm standing in line. I'm stuck here. Oh, Ready Player One.
There's an author online. I don't know, Trisha, if you're trying to explore your genres, like different genres. Because Ready Player One, I believe, is sci-fi, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So I think the author... There's an author on TikTok I found, and he recommends like, oh, these are like beginner, like he says, I would never recommend like Lord of the Rings to someone who was interested in fantasy. You know what I mean? So he has like very like kind of nice entry level books.
Ready Player One's an entry level.
He didn't recommend it only because of the author. He said it's a problematic author or something. Or is it that one or is there someone else?
I don't think
it's one of the ones.
Are talking about. Hold on, Ender's Game has a problem.
Yes, Ender's Game has.
Ender's Game was one of the first sci-fi books and is a very problematic author. But it was one of the first science fiction books that was ever. It was actually written as like short stories in like a newspaper, and then was released as a book. It's a 3-part book. It is a very good book, but it has a problematic author.
Yeah, that's what it was. So anyway, he recommends books without problematic authors at this point, up to this point. Mm-hmm. He's very open. He's like, I'll change my opinion.
Change next week.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's exactly what he said. Ernest
Cline, who wrote Ready Player One, is not a problematic author that I'm aware of. It is a good entry level book. And I understand why your husband likes it is because if you are a gamer who loves like 80s nostalgia.
Yeah, that's what he said. Book,
yeah, like it's not sci-fi. I will take that back. It's not really sci-fi. It just lives in like a very digital world.
Yeah.
Like that you can like live in the digital world essentially.
Yeah, I saw the movie, so I'm like, I'm sure I understand the concept of the book. So I'm sure
the book is so much better. They changed a lot in the movie. I always laugh at it because they have some Star Trek references in it. And whenever Will Wheaton's reading it, who was in Star Trek, it always just makes me giggle.
I don't know that I didn't know who Will Wheaton was until I saw him in Big Bang Theory.
Same, Paula. Same.
Oh my!
But he's a star. He was a Star Trek actor, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He was a young Star Trek actor. He was
on the Next Generation. Okay. Yeah. I have his book that he wrote. He's very big supporter of mental wellness, and he does not do a lot of conventions specifically because he knows his mental health cannot handle it.
Do people not like his character, essentially? Is he like
people the did Anakin not like of Star when Wars? He was on Star Trek? No, people hate his character. But you have to like remember that he was on a show and he was the only teenager on a show that was all adults. So everyone thought his teenage character was very pompous and essentially a 13-year-old boy who was very smart and was smarter than like some of the crew members type thing. So like people hated on his characters, like to the point like that it led to him. It took him years to come back to really appreciate his time on Star Trek. He was also unfortunate. He was in Stand By Me. He was
I loved his character in Stand By Me.
He was a child actor that was forced into it and then had everything taken away from him by his parents. So he's not okay.
I thought he was like, because in Big Bang Theory, he's like an ass.
Oh, and the only reason he went back to do that, he plays a caricature of himself.
Okay.
Yeah, he's not actually like that. It was one of the things that made him want to do it. He's like, I don't want to go on a show and play myself. They're like, oh no, we want to make you like the arch nemesis on the show. And that's why he went back to
it. He's Sheldon's
yes.
Like, he's Sheldon's villain. So they wanted to like villainize him. But no, he's not like that in real life.
Okay.
Why don't we drop our socials where we can find each other? Let's start with you.
Yeah. I'll start. You can find me on Instagram or on Threads at the Texas Potterhead.
And you can find me on Instagram at Wizard of Main Street, but on Storygraph, you can find me at Angle Paradox.
You can find me on Instagram and Threads at Unconceivable. And I don't, is my thing on StoryGraph
Paulita's World? Yes.
Paulita's World. Paulita's World. You can also find me on Instagram at More Than Favors, which is my planner account and budgeting. And also, obviously, I'm the co-host of the lovely Creating Magic podcast. You can find me at Creating Magic Podcast, along with Danny.
You can find me on the Instagrams at Mandrakes and Mischief. You can find the podcast on Pinterest now, too, at Creating Magic Podcast. Pretty much all the things under the podcast. And then I'm not on StoryGraph anymore, so I can't share that yet. And until next time,
keep creating.
Expelled.